No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
Trevor Morehouse! Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name is Jesse. And today, we are coming at you live, uncut, and relatively undrawn.
Yeah.
With the true end of sequel month,
yep.
Travis.
Yep, it's the end today.
Today is today. July 31st, and we have one final sequel to talk about. It is our monthly bonus episode, To Be or Not to Be, and I went with Bloody Murder 2, Closing Camp.
Yay.
So that's what we will be talking about, but first, many announcements. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, this is episode 93.
Mm-hmm.
Because we put out a ton of fucking bonus episodes in the past year.
Yeah.
We should not be at as many episodes as we're at. But no. You know what? Look at us. We're great.
It's way too many episodes.
I feel, though, that we have grown immensely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was going to say, I hope you feel the same, but yeah. you just feel so.
As you do. Would you agree?
As one does. So we are really excited about how much we have grown in this endeavor. We're excited about the little community that we found online, where we're really excited about some of the feedback we've gotten from people. And we've decided that we know when we're going to be doing some of the stuff we've been saying we're going to do.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on episode 100, and that's when we're going to release our favorite little clips show. I don't know how long it'll be, but that's what I'm going to be working on through pretty much the whole month of August, is getting that together. We've gotten several listener submissions for their favorite bits, so keep them coming. Let's see. With our 100th episode, we are also going to soft relaunch our Patreon.
Yeah.
Right now, it's currently open. We haven't been actually posting our episodes there because we haven't had any hidden behind a paywall.
No, it was a whole thing that we were doing with Nightmare on Elm Street, and then we decided to make it free, and then, you know, just kind of make it part of the normal show, and
Yeah, we kind of jumped into the Patreon thing before being sure what we wanted to do with it. Right now, if you just want to support us, just support us. You can go over there. It's a dollar. Eventually, we will have a couple of perks for being a $1 patron. But we are going to add a couple of levels, and we're trying to think about some of the things that we think would be good. So if you have an interest in a patron, in becoming a patron, let us know what types of things you want to see there. One thing that we know for sure we want to do is, since we talk about how chaotic my fucking notes are every week, we're going to scan in the notes on one of those levels so you can, you know, try and decipher it with us.
Yeah.
We're thinking about having some voting power, since usually there's an odd amount of episodes between the two of us to choose, plus our franchise episode each month. There's usually an odd one. So we're thinking about letting some voting power happen.
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of things that we're planning. Just if you have anything that you would like to see, let us know. Otherwise, we're going to 100% come up with all this stuff ourselves. I don't know if you trust us to do that, but that'll be the case if you don't tell us what you want.
Yeah.
So.
And then another thing that we're doing is a soft relaunch of our shop.
Yeah.
So we've got a few designs planned that Travis has started working on already. And if there's anything in particular you want, be it a design that you think, when you think of our show, you want to have as merchandise, let us know that. And what you want that to be on also.
You can pretty much make it on anything.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. It depends.
We have the power to set what we want on. So.
Yeah.
So that's that. And I'm going to go ahead and plug our socials right here at the top of the episode, because it being July 31st, that means tomorrow's August 1st, which means a new month schedule.
Yeah, we got to make a new schedule.
Yeah. So to be able to do that, to participate in polls, to just, you know, join in the general fun, you can follow us on Facebook. We've got an Instagram, Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. We have a Twitter, Least Fave Pod. We have a TikTok, find it, I dare you. We have a website. What's your least favorite scary movie.com. Go ahead and bookmark that, because that's a lot to type in every day.
Okay.
And you can email us at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of myself. Normally when I go over the socials, there's multiple takes because I fuck it up. So
yeah, you got
it. I'm proud that I did it live.
You got it good now. Yeah, because we're not editing any of this.
So. Yeah, this is just going to, unless, you know, something happens, like I knock my mic over again. We're not doing anything with it other than a little bit of audio processing and adding the theme. So.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
So with that, we're going to go ahead and get into Bloody Murder 2.
Yeah, going right into it because it's a bonus episode. No normal bullshit. Unless you got normal bullshit like background information.
I do have some background information. I don't have fun facts.
That's fine. That's fine.
So this movie was released, released straight to streaming.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, straight to streaming?
Hard to believe.
Wait, you mean direct to DVD? Because, like, this came out in 2003, right?
It said released to streaming.
Wow. I wonder if, like, they held it. Like, it never got released until then.
Yeah. When I pulled up the Wikipedia, it said distributed by Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. But it came out February 18th, 2003 is its official release date. It was written by John R. Stevenson, directed by Rob Spira, special effects makeup by Todd Masters, and original music by Stephen M. Stern.
I have a question. Were any of those people involved with the original?
I didn't check.
All right.
I pulled up several of the actors, though, and I couldn't find any in common with the original.
Yeah, I don't think any of the actors are, but I think at least the guy that did the first one should be involved in this one.
When you say did the first one, do you mean wrote or directed?
Yes. Because I think he did both.
Okay, well, it was a different writer and director this time.
Like, the writer was you're right, yeah. This guy did not. He did not do anything.
That's not surprising at all, because I feel like this is a very tonally different movie than the first one.
Yeah, it is, but, like, isn't it weird that he would make this thing and not see it through? Like, somebody else, like, saw Bloody Murder and was like, I see the potential in making this a franchise. I'm going to do it.
Okay, we've talked about many a franchise here that had inconsistent writers and directors throughout. So.
That's true, but this one is... Well, I was about to say this one's based on completely copying a certain movie, but then we've had that too. It was Friday the 13th and plenty of others. So, you know, what? I have stumped myself. Okay, I'm...
Starring Katie Woodruff as Tracy, Kelly Gunning as Mike, Tiffany Shepis as Angela, Amanda McGlarian as Sophie, Raymond Navarro Smith as Elvis, Tom Mullen as Ryan, Arthur Benjamin as Rick, and John Colton as Sheriff Miller. I have a budget of $325,000.
$325,000 for this.
No box office.
Because streaming.
Currently sitting at a 4.4 on IMDb. The original is at a 3.0. I have disputes.
I get it. I mean, yeah.
For comparison, a little movie released June 30th, 2003. We've watched it before. Uh-huh. It's a Christmas movie. Not sure why it was released in June. Dead End.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Wow.
Yeah, I feel like that's a movie that is a little bit more obscure.
Yeah, it's weird. That's the one, like...
It's a time travel, kind of.
Yeah, I thought it was Ghosts.
Maybe. I don't know. It's been a long time since we watched it.
I just remember, like, Phantom Family on the side of the road.
I thought it was a time travel situation.
Dude, we... Did we
Maybe
watch
we need to rewatch it. Anyway... That movie, for comparison, had almost three times the budget at $900,000.
Wow.
It went straight to DVD, but with an estimate of $77 million in sales.
That's crazy. Dead
End?
$77 million. Jesus Christ.
Currently sitting at a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb.
Okay.
And then I...
Well, did you just make a realization while reading your own notes?
Well...
What?
I gathered information on a third movie, but I didn't write down the name of the movie.
Whoa, mystery movie. Okay.
So if anybody knows of a movie released July 15th, 2003. Went direct to DVD.
Direct to DVD.
4.3 out of 10 on IMDb.
I still know what you did last summer. I will always know what you did last summer.
No budget or box office information available. I feel like it was another sequel. I know that much.
Yeah.
but I do not remember what the fuck it was.
2003, huh?
Yeah, just Google 2003 horror movies and read off the sequels that you see, and I can tell you if it's it or not.
Okay.
Let's I can't believe I didn't write it down.
Was it Jeepers Creepers?
No. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Scary Movie 3?
No.
Leprechaun 2?
No. I thought about it, though.
Final Destination 2?
No. No, that's in a different league.
Yeah. Beyond Reanimator?
No.
Damn, dude. What'd you choose? Dracula 2? The Hitcher 2?
It was The Hitcher 2.
Yeah, The Hitcher 2.
It was The Hitcher 2. That's what it was.
Whoa, he's even like, he's hitchhiking even more hardcore in this poster. Like, it's daylight now.
And I know that there was a remake of The Hitcher, and if you're thinking this is clearly a sequel to the remake, you're wrong. It's a sequel to the 1986 Hitcher.
It has Gary Busey's son in it. Mm-hmm. Wow. Dude, we gotta watch this. I don't even know if it's good, but like, my curiosity has peaked.
Peaked, you say?
Yeah, it's peaked. It's as high as my curiosity will ever go again.
Man. It's even higher than, like, trying to figure out what the movie was.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. All right, I did get a couple of taglines.
Oh, okay.
There was no tagline section on IMDb, so I just looked at a couple of posters.
Okay.
Do you want the bad one first or the worst one first?
Tell me which, like, in random, and I'll guess which one was the bad one and which one's the worst.
The second cut is the deepest.
Okay. And let me hear the other.
Want to play? You can run, but you can't hide.
That one's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Want to play? You can run, but you can't hide?
That's a total cliche of a tagline. Yeah. Two cliches put together, plus maybe a little bit of ripping off of Child's Play.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking,
too.
They
were like, we've ripped off all of the slashers that we can think of, except for Child's Play. How do we work this in?
Want to play? I still know what you did. Last Scream.
I know what you did 5 summers ago.
Yeah, because it is 5 summers
ago. And then several summers before that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. That's a good tagline action right there. I'm actually impressed I had multiple, honestly.
Mm, yeah. Okay. What'd you think about it?
You know, I actually thought that this was a pretty good little movie, if I'm being honest with myself. I had fun with it.
Okay.
The first one was like in like so bad it's good territory, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it still had its own moments, like, you know, it had its own fun. It was a fun watch. This one was also a fun watch, but I feel like it was actually like a competent slasher, like, if I'm being honest. Like,
okay,
I'm just really shocked at how well it did. I mean, overall a step above the original, but I mean, that's not to say I don't think I would enjoy watching the original more.
Okay.
I think that this one is a very close second, but like, I'm just impressed with it.
Okay.
I had fun. So mm-hmm. I'm going to give it like a 7.
A 7.
Yeah. What do you think? Did you hate it?
I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it the way I loved the first one.
Because it takes itself more seriously, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That is not why I came into this one. I thought that the first one was going to take itself way too seriously.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like, okay, we're doing a very obvious ripoff, but we're going to act like it's not a ripoff and we're just going to run with it. But instead, it was very self-aware. And it was fun. It needed some editing for pacing.
Yeah.
I fully acknowledge that. There were definitely some scenes that you're like, why is this here? Why is this included? But it's fine. This one, I feel like you said, it feels more competently made, but in some ways, I feel like it doesn't feel as soulful as the first one did.
I see what you mean.
So I'm kind of intrigued, though, because a lot of what I was reading about this movie, everybody was like, this fixed the problems of the first one.
So everybody likes this one better.
Yes.
Okay.
And I was super confused. So I'm excited to hear your perspective on it, because I'm going to give this like a 4.5 right now.
Wow. Okay.
And I truly, it has nothing to do with it objectively. You know, as we always say, it's a gut thing.
Yeah.
And I came to it with the expectation of more of the fun of the first one.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like this one has the same fun.
It doesn't.
So.
Like this one, I just think at least I came in also expecting it to be like similar tone to the first one, but like it kind of tricked me. Like it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to be like a straight up actual slasher movie. I'm going to like do some good things in this movie too and impress you. Like we actually have goodish effects, you know, special effects.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, the story's not that great. Like it's super basic. The whole reveal of who the killer is, I thought that all of that was lame. But everything else about it, I was like, okay, this is actually way better than I would have expected.
Yeah, and I feel like my rating of it might be different if I, you know, if it had been a situation of like our original plan to watch a sequel to a movie we'd never seen the first one for.
Like you would have watched this without watching the first one?
Yeah, if I'd never seen the first one and I watched this, I'd probably be like, it's okay.
Now, how would you feel going from watching the like second one first and then going to the original? Do you think you would like the original more or would you hate it?
I feel like I would be like, why didn't they make the second one more like this one?
Okay. So you would still be on
on
board with the first one. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I agree with you that if I had to choose between the two, I would watch the first one. But if somebody said, no, let's do two, I would be 100% on board because I'm like, yeah, that's going to be fun too, you know?
I mean, and Tiffany Shepis is great, too.
Yeah, and I think this is her very first movie.
I hope that's true, because her and Felissa Rose are such good friends, and I love the idea of both of them having their first major role be the name Angela.
Yeah, I actually thought about that, too. Like, I didn't realize that they both shared that, but they are good friends, and
They do a Casualty Friday together, too.
Yeah, I just like, I think that that name is a homage to that character.
Yeah, I definitely think so, too.
Because, I mean, this movie, one thing that it is consistent on is that it, like, does play on the existing franchises. So,
oh, yeah.
It's kind of interesting. All right, I'm pulling up her acting credits right now just to verify.
Okay.
So, her very first movie. No, this isn't her very first movie.
Fuck!
Nope.
How dare you?
Well,
I was gonna respect the ballsiness of going tits out on your very first movie, though.
Yeah, big time tits out. Like,
I respect that. Like, that's gotta be intimidating.
Yeah, she like, I mean, I've read the trivia for this movie. She seemed pretty like cool with it, but then again, I think that she does that a lot in plenty of her own movies. So, I don't know. Yeah. So she's like Linnea Quigley in that sense, kind of.
I think about that sometimes. Like, if I was ever a horror actress, like, would I be able to do that? Or would I have to be, like, the Jamie Lee Curtis? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's fine either way. Like, it's whatever everybody's comfortable with.
Yeah. No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I respect that, like,
yeah,
confidence to be able to do to that. To do that, yeah.
Yeah, because it's weird, because, like, you don't really think about it, but, like, there's people behind the cameras, like a room of people just staring at you.
There's people behind the cameras, and then there's just like the overall misogyny of society that, like, if you're a woman who does that, like, there are going to be people out there that are going to be like, yeah, all she does is show her tits on camera.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. And that's like, fuck you. Like,
just fuck you.
Just fuck you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't have the mental energy to tell you all the ways you suck. Go berate yourselves.
All right. Okay. Well, do you have the mental energy?
5.75. That's our average.
That's our average. Yes. Okay. I guess you have enough energy to finish my thought for me.
I do. I'm getting in the right headspace for our next back-to-back one. Recording that we're doing. So.
All right. Well, okay. Let's fucking talk about this movie then.
Okay. Starts off with the dream sequence.
Yeah, it's a very strange way to start the film, because like it just starts with her, like, this woman standing in the snow
barefoot
in the wilderness, barefoot, and I'm like, okay, like, this is a weird way to start a camp horror movie that's clearly set on the summer.
Which I want to say, I thought when it said closing camp, in my thought, it was going to be like the original Friday the 13th, where they're trying to close the camp down, you know, like make sure that it can't be open to the public.
That's what they're doing.
No, what they're literally doing is closing the camp. Like, they finished with the summer.
Oh,
the counselors are all there closing the camp down.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. That's, they're just like, they're done for the year. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's gone. They're the cleanup crew.
Which I feel like is interesting. And we've only ever seen that trope in a horror camp, in a horror movie based on a camp, like one other time.
Which one?
Mad Men. Which they're not actually closing down, but it's like their final night.
Yeah, that's true. It's very similar to that. Yeah. I like the premise, though. It is like a different take on it, because usually it's like, oh, we got the kids here, we're doing creepy campfire tales, and boom, like, cliche, but whatever, it's a camp horror movie, so
yeah,
it's fun.
So she sees Jason, definitely not the same actor from the first one. They didn't even try to get somebody that looked like him.
No,
so this is something I didn't notice when we talked about the first one, but all of the characters in the first one, because I pulled it up to see if there were any, like, returning actors. Yeah. All of them said, like, Jason Jace Wazowski, or, God, I can't even think about all of them, like, Brian Bry Moore, or, like
they were all using fake names.
They all had, like, the shortened name in quotations in the middle, like, this is their nickname, this is what you need to call them. Whitney Witt Smith.
That's weird, why?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm making up most of those names, by the way. I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember them, but it was all stupid like that.
Yeah.
And they really tried to do it in this movie, too, because they consistently refer to Tracy as Trace, Sophie as Soph. Pretty sure at one point they call Ryan Rye. The only one they don't do it to is Elvis.
Which, I mean, his name is Elvis. Like, what are you going to do with that name?
I don't know.
It's already, like, a crazy name.
I don't think it's a crazy name.
What do you call him, Elf? Cool. L? E?
Maybe.
Elvis. No.
The way these movies are written, I could see them be like, come on, Elv. Like, I could see it. I could see it.
Elves, nah. It would be L. It's got to be L. Like, Elv doesn't work.
Anyway, she has a dream that she sees her brother Jason, and she's like, Mom and Dad want you to come home. And he's like, you know, I can't do that. And then there's a chainsaw, and he gets stabbed through the back, killed. She wakes up in her bed, sweaty. We will reuse this sweaty waking up frame 3 more times in this movie.
Is it the same shot that gets reused?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
But right here from the beginning, that kill right there, it tells you, oh, we actually have like a competent crew this time. Because I remember the last movie, like the best kill they did was whenever that guy like had like a flat tire or whatever. He pulled over on the side of the road to like change it, and then he came up and like slit his throat or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was really bad.
Yeah.
And this one right here, he gets a chainsaw through his torso.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Soph is in there.
Soph.
See, that's a dumb short.
That one's too. Really stupid. Yeah, that one's forcing it.
She's like, did you have the dream again? So that tells us that
it's a recurring nightmare.
It's a recurring nightmare, and that she has been a nightmare to share a cabin with all summer.
Because she's just screaming all night long.
So the counselors meet at the mess hall the next morning. Rick, the like head bitch in charge, he says James, he's an old family friend, he's hitching across the country. He's gonna help close him down over the next couple days. Just a little casual free labor.
Yeah.
No biggie. He's like, also there's a storm coming. You think that's going to be relevant. It ends up not mattering at all.
I think that there's like one
not
scene.
Not even a little bit.
There's one scene where I see rain going on in the background. Like, it was really important that we set that up. We just needed to get the tone set right for this scene.
They all leave to work on their closing down. I feel like some of the stuff they're doing to close down a camp. And listen, I understand closing down stuff like winterizing things. Super important. I get that. I feel like some of the shit they're doing is stuff that they could have done like as they were done with the activities, like collecting the tubes for tubing.
They're just out there in the
river. Yeah, like, no wonder one's missing. You're lucky only one's missing.
Yeah.
You know, things like that, I feel like, could have happened. Apparently, though, Rick needs to talk to Ryan. He left a wood chipper outside, and it got ruined. And he's like, you're costing me a lot of money, numbnuts.
Yeah.
He talks to him super unprofessionally.
Yeah, yeah. He, like, straight up embarrasses him in front of all these people.
Couldn't get embarrassed tonight.
And also, with it. Tiffany Shep is, I guess, Angela. Her character is all over him. They're, like, making out every time that they're not actually talking, basically.
And Ryan's like, what are you going to do? Fire me? There's only 3 days left.
Ooh.
Ooh, I know what you did last summer. That's, like, all I can think. Like, I keep equating him to Ryan Phillippe.
The guy that's super aggressive?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he kind
of
looks like
him. He kind of looks like him. His name's Ryan. He doesn't take any of this shit seriously. No, he's a bit of an asshole.
He's not, like, his fuse is not as short, though. He is, like, an angry-ish guy, but, like, you know, I don't know. He's like, a very scaled-back version of that.
I guess. So it's the end of the summer. I had to make that note for myself because I did not fully understand still. I was still confused by the name of the movie. In your mind, you're
like, what the fuck is happening? Closing down camp, just getting started. Movie just started.
So that night, the counselors are all by the fire. They're drinking. They decide they're going to play buddy murder. And Trace is like, no thanks, bye. And they're like, everybody knows her brother died, but body was never found. How dare you? And Mike's like, God damn it. I can't even enjoy the fucking game. I gotta go take care of my stupid girlfriend with all her trauma. All I could think of the whole time in this movie was that, like, he's a Billy Loomis knockoff.
He is. He's got the same vibes. Like, this is very much like Sidney and Billy type like, shit.
It's like, I understand your brother was most likely brutally murdered, but you really need to get over it and suck my penis.
Those words exactly. Yeah. He actually said that shit to her. And it worked. She starts doing it right there. Not really.
But it's been 5 years. Her brother was the only one whose body was never found.
Jason's an actual character in the first one, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So isn't he the guy that, like, survives in the end?
Yeah, I think he was the one that was in the sheriff's car and something weird happened at the end. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think that's him.
But yeah. So then he says that he's like, due to your family situation, I feel like I can't get close to you. I feel like maybe you just want attention.
Yeah. Oh my God. This guy sucks.
Fucking hate him.
It was right around this time that Talia started sleep growling.
Yeah. She made an angry face. I took a picture of it too. Yeah. So I'll try to remember to post that after we're done recording. We go back to the fire and they're telling James the story of Trevor Morehouse, and he, like, fills in all the blanks. He's like, yeah, every camp across the country has a Trevor Morehouse type story.
But he, like, knew exactly who Trevor Morehouse was, right? Like, he seemed to have the information of Trevor Morehouse, like, specifically.
No, they said the name Trevor Morehouse first, and when they started telling the story, it's kind of like when psychics are like, I'm sensing someone close to you, grandfather. Mm. Like, he's doing, like, that kind of thing.
Okay.
He was like, fine then. If you're not afraid of Trevor Morehouse, then you can be it.
Ooh, and they got him good because he gets scared.
Yeah, well, so he counts to 20.
I liked how 21,000. In the scene where he's counting the 20, like, it does, like, a slow fade and then fades back to him counting at, like, 15 seconds. And I'm like, has he been counting for 20 seconds, or has he been, like, stuck, like, trying to figure out how to get there?
Well, it comes after 11!
Because, like, this gives everybody plenty of time to go get in the costume, get in the place. They need more than 20 seconds for that. They picked the right guy to count slow.
Yeah.
Like, he just got rebooted a couple of times here.
So the first person he finds is Mike, who has had enough time to ditch Tracy and pop back up, get some special effects blood on his neck and act like he's dying.
This guy is spitting out blood.
And James has the correct reaction of, holy shit, I need to get you some help. And then Ryan jumps out dressed as Trevor Morehouse. And
the
Jim's,
original Trevor Morehouse.
Yeah.
With the hockey mask.
Yeah. And James is like, Trevor Morehouse, like in a Scooby-Doo episode.
Yeah.
And then they're like, ha ha, we knew you'd be afraid. And then they start to fight, and then the girls break them up. And Sophie tells James, like, it's probably better if you just chill a little bit. So then they leave him to clean up the fire area all by himself.
Is that what happened? Because, like, yeah. Okay, I thought that he chose to be there by himself.
I mean, he might have.
Yeah, I thought he just stayed back just to chill.
He ends up putting the fire out with beer. Don't think that's how that
no.
works.
It didn't even work because, like, you see him just immediately stomping the fire afterwards. But, like, when he's doing this, you see somebody stalking out in the woods. You get some first-person camera action.
He assumes that it's Ryan because why wouldn't you assume that? And he's like, I don't have the energy for this. And he tries to walk away. Gets his leg chopped off and tries to crawl away. And then we go full Black Knight and chop off his other leg.
and this is like...
This was actually like seeing the chopped off legs was pretty gross.
Pulled it off really well. Yeah. Like, because, I mean, you could do this with just not filming the whole thing, but we see his whole body.
Yeah.
And yeah, they did a good job.
They did it. And then Trevor Morehouse picks up a giant rock and bashes his little brains in.
Bam. That's a good kill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then right after he does this, he like stands up and then he goes and like stands over top of a cliff top. And it's like, it's actually a really cool shot because he just is like staring at the distance and it's like the moonlight's casting down on him. Like, I was actually really impressed. I was like, holy shit, that's good composition right there.
I could see that being one of those moments where they're like, holy shit, this looks really pretty. You need to go stand on that cliff.
Yeah, just, go stand right there.
So the next morning, Trace apologizes to Mike.
Yeah. Like, and I don't know. I don't know what happened here. Like, if the writers actually thought, like, she's clearly in the wrong.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't.
I think she just might be like, she just feels bad. I don't know. Like
she's got trauma that's unresolved. And she even says, like, I never got closure. I want to be able to move on. It's been really hard being here. Sorry if I've been very wrapped up in myself.
Do you think she came here for closure?
I don't know.
Because, like, if...
Because it certainly seems to have stirred something up in her.
Yeah, this would be, like, a thing that would, like, fuck with her, I would think, if you're staying at the camp that your brother died at.
Yeah, I'm surprised her parents were, like...
Yeah, go ahead, yeah. Trevor Morehouse, who's that?
So Rick wants to have a meeting in the mess hall, and the meeting is him shouting that James is gone, and what did you all do to him?
He, like, left a message saying that it's best that he just move on.
Yeah. Juanita is there. And listen, Juanita popped up at just the right moment, because they get the message to meet in the mess hall. The camp is closed. They're supposed to be, like, cleaning everything up. And I'm like, who put out this breakfast buffet for this group of young adults?
You said this out loud.
I did. I was like, they didn't do this for themselves. And then Juanita pops up and she's like, she's freaking out about Trevor Morehouse. And she tells Rick, she's like, I need to leave. And he's like, we've got just a couple more days. She's like, look, I will clean up my shit that's in here. I will freeze enough food for the next couple days. You don't need me. I want to leave. I want to go home.
I want to go home. That's her grown up.
Yep. So Elvis and Sophie talk about horror tropes.
Which I thought was like a callback to Scream, because they're talking about which one of them would die first. Because he's the black guy. He would get killed off first in his mind. However, she is talking about, like, girls show their tits in horror movies and then they get killed. But he has a good point. He's like, you actually have a choice if you want to show your tits or not.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you have a choice with that. There's a whole bunch of other, like, kind of going back to what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I'm not going to... I don't have the mental energy to unpack all of that right now.
That's fine. We don't have to.
No, it's okay. He doesn't have a choice about being black. So, no. Yeah, he's got a point here.
Yeah. Like, I like that they realize that they're in a horror movie right now, though.
Yeah. Ryan is like trying to put the moves on Angela, and he's got these gross ass work gloves on, and he's like touching her lower stomach, and I'm uncomfortable by it.
Yeah, it's,
I'm like, please take these gloves off, they're gross. And then he's like, how about we hit the shower?
And that's then... what he was doing. He was trying to get her dirty and be like, oh, I'm so sorry, you got dirty glove shit on you.
So they get into the shower, and his pager goes off, and Rick wants to meet him up at the obstacle course. When he gets up there, he doesn't find Rick. There is a grave that's been dug, though.
Yeah.
And then he gets shot by an arrow in the neck and dies really fucking slowly.
Yeah, he gets buried alive.
When he's in the grave, I notice he has the fucking work gloves on again.
He does?
Yes!
He knew that he was going to do the work. Or maybe he saw the grave, he's like, ah, shit, here we go. gotta bury something.
But yeah, he gets buried alive, like buried as he's dying. Yeah.
Yeah, but still, that's like, I don't know, that's like an extra layer of like, fuck you.
Tracy is, as binoculars, is just looking around instead of fucking working.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at this point, too, Mike is like, oh, I'm going to the other side of the lake to go look. So she's looking around. Look for
this missing tube.
Yeah, and all right. So, yeah, she has the binoculars. And I swear to God, man, this looks like the Bigfoot footage where, like, she, like, kind of, it's really shaky cam. And he, like, he's looking. He's got the same look. And he's kind of got the same little hunch. I don't know.
It's Sam Squadricky.
Like, he's, it's Trevor Morehouse. By the way, one thing about this I don't like is I don't like the redesign. I don't know why they did that.
Okay, so I'm going to show you who he reminds me of.
Okay. Well, before, as you're pulling that up, I'm going to explain. So in the original, he was basically mirrored exactly after Jason. He had the hockey mask. He kind of had the Michael jumpsuit. So it might have been like a combination of those two. And he had a chainsaw as a weapon. This one, he's just got this like white plain mask. And it's not really interesting. And he's also wearing coveralls and like a beanie. Like it's, I don't know. I don't care for the look too much. Okay, well, let me see this. What the fuck? It is kind of like that. I like this outfit.
If you want to know what I'm... pulling up and pulling up Vivacious's workroom entrance for season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race. She's got a mannequin head on her head that she named Ornacia. That's all I can think of every time Trevor Morehouse is on screen. It's not a great costume design.
It's just a blank white face.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. But like the way the hood and mask and stuff are all on there, it makes it look like he's got a really... long fat neck.
I like that though. If that's what Trevor Morehouse actually looked like, I would be creeped out. I'd be like, fuck man, that neck is not natural.
So she is freaking out and Mike's a little bit skeptical, but they end up calling the cops. The sheriff comes in, says he'll send deputies out twice a day to check in on them. Rick kind of like pulls the sheriff to the side and he's like, just so you know, her brother died here 5 years ago. So, you know, women, am I right? He's got a six pack that he now splits open with the sheriff.
Him and Tom Atkins.
Mike wants to fuck.
Yeah, and, bad timing, bro.
Yeah, not and good. He is very mad when Tracy's like, hey, I think there's a killer.
Yeah. So when she apologized at first, she's like, okay, we're just going to focus on having fun the rest of this time here. So like his idea of having fun is like, oh, that means we're like going to like have sex all the time.
Yeah.
So then he brings up, he's like, I thought you said you wanted to have fun.
The problem is that he is entirely modeled after Billy Loomis. And he was like, it worked after he nagged Sydney. She had sex with him, even when there was clearly a killer. Why is my pee-pee dry?
Yeah, he's not as suave as Billy. No.
Rick tells everybody he got a page from Ryan saying that he quits. This really upsets Angela because he just left without saying goodbye. And he said, since we've lost a few people, I'm going to give you all an extra $50 each if we close on schedule. Tracy, Sophie, and Elvis decide they're going to go look for Mike and Angela, who have stormed off for various reasons, because they feel uncomfortable and they'd rather kind of figure this shit out. Mm-hmm. Mike is driving a truck Don't know if it's his or if it's the camp truck. It's never very clear.
No, it's not, is it? You're right.
Yeah, because he always refers to it as the truck.
Yeah.
So...
He's the only one that drives it, though. I don't know.
I don't know. He sees Angela standing moodily in the dark, and he's like, get in the truck. You shouldn't be out here alone. They talk about Ryan, and she's like, I know it's just a summer fling, and he's got a girlfriend at home, but, you know, I still can't believe he wouldn't say goodbye, leave a note, nothing.
Yeah.
And then they kiss, and then they start to do more than kiss, and she's like, you need to go get a condom. And he's like, it's not a big deal. Like, I'm clean. She goes, go get a fucking condom. Good for her.
Yeah, Max sucks.
Yeah.
He's not a cool guy.
They get naked by a tree. And Elvis watches them for a few humps.
But also, in between that, he ran to go get his condom. And he was going back to his cabin. And then he, sees Tracy and Sophie trying to, get him. And they knock on the door, and they have, an envelope for him. So they're like, oh, he's not here. I'm going to leave it under the mat. So mm-hmm. they slide it under the mat. And then they walk away. This will be important.
It will be, actually, yeah.
So, yeah.
You never know which details are going to matter in this movie.
True.
So. They're completely naked in the woods, fucking, except Mike has his fucking socks on.
Just the socks
just
on.
Just the socks.
My
just the
guy.
Socks. And they are the white, tube socks.
Yeah. At least they're not knee highs, you know? Like, if it were knee high socks, I feel like it would be worse.
Would it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, like knee high socks with no other clothes. Very disturbing.
I don't know. That feels like more of... That feels like a different kind of statement.
Yeah. So, at this point,
Elvis, Tracy, and Sophie have gotten back together, and Elvis lies about whether he's seen them.
Yeah.
Because Elvis understands the dynamics.
Broke
code. We don't need this, we don't need to have relationship drama when people are getting murdered one by one.
Yeah.
Mike's clothes are missing. So he's got to look around for him. Right now, he's just in his fucking tube socks and boxers.
At least he has his boxers still.
That's true. Angela hears
the pager.
Ryan's pager
yeah.
and finds his body. And my first note was, apparently Trevor Morehouse just got tired of burying him. But later...
He gave up so soon.
Yeah.
shit, this isn't working.
Yeah. I mean, the cops say that animals probably dug him up to, eat on him.
Is that
but
what they
like
say? That's a lot of digging to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like both are true because it was a deep grave. I feel like Trevor Morehouse got him buried just enough and then was like, fuck this shit. Especially based on the timing of when Tracy saw him walking away.
Yeah.
Why would you dig such a deep grave in that? The digging is the hard part.
That's true. And it's perfectly rectangular. Somebody yeah. took a cutter and just stuck
yeah.
it into the ground. Just
he put a lot of effort into that just to completely blow it.
But you know
end.
What? It's all about freaking out your victim is the thing. Your person sees the grave and it's perfectly rectangular and somebody clearly worked on this. You know you're fucked. That's psychological torment right there.
I guess. So, all of the kids, Angela, when she sees Ryan's body, she screams, and everybody comes running, so Mike ducks away, because he doesn't want to be found half naked next to Angela.
Yeah. Although, from their conversation, Mike's and Tracy's, I thought it was they broke up.
I thought, she needs to break up.
Yeah, but, I don't know why he would feel guilty. I get that it would be, a shitty situation, but, they're over with, so I don't know. I thought so, at least.
The cops tell them all that they're all under suspicion of homicide. Mike and Rick are missing, though, at this point, as far as everybody knows. The deputies escort Tracy and Elvis to the showers because they've both gotten covered in mud and somehow.
I don't know.
really see how they got covered in mud.
No, you're right, because I thought that they fell down, but no, they fall down later.
Yeah,
I don't know.
This is probably like the most tense scene.
This was a really, really good scene. And
yeah, so we got one deputy outside of the girls' like shower room, and then one outside the boys.
Yeah.
So one each with Elvis and Tracy. And we see them each, like, Elvis and Tracy each, like, getting set up in their shower. Weird shit's happening. Like, Tracy feels like she's hearing sounds. The lights are flickering in Elvis's bathroom. Hard relate. We have had storms and power issues here ourselves. And Talia is barking, so we're going to pause this for a second. Okay. Sorry, Talia was all worked up, so we had to go calm her down.
Yeah.
So anyway, Tracy and Elvis are in the showers. They're feeling spooky stuff, like Tracy's hearing noises. Elvis is having flickering light issues. And we cut and see a deputy getting knocked out and Trevor Morehouse sneaking into the bathroom.
Yeah.
And Tracy, like, turns off the water and she, like, listens. And she's feeling very nervous and she pulls up in the shower curtain and we see Trevor duck into an empty shower stall. And she walks down the bathroom, and when she pulls back the shower stall,
there's nobody there.
There's nobody there. And this was a moment that actually got me. I went, oh, fuck, he's in Elvis's bathroom.
Yeah. And then it, like, cuts to his bathroom, and then he, like, bursts out of the open one and then just gets Elvis. Like, it's really fucking well
stab,
done.
Stab, 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 stab.
That's, like, that's a thing right there. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That was a really well done scene. That had me, like, that had me got.
Yeah. Tracy gets out of the bathroom. She sees the deputy has been knocked out and is coming to. They run up and find the other deputy also coming to. And then they go into the bathroom and they find Elvis's body.
Poor Elvis.
Sheriff appears. He got a call about another body popping up. Rick says that it's James just based on the description, like what he was wearing, age, all that.
Yeah.
The sheriff suspects Mike because a mask was found in his belongings. I just wrote, Tracy's a schmuck. She just, like, refuses to believe anything bad about him. She's like, Mike wouldn't do this. Mike is a good person. And I'm like, maybe Mike isn't a killer, but he's not a good person, Tracy. Yeah.
Like, I mean, okay, character issues, that's a whole other thing. But, like, still, like, I don't know if evidence is pointing at it. I don't know, like, at least give it a little bit of thought.
Okay, and also, like, why are they all still out at the camp?
I know,
right? Why have they not been taken somewhere else at this point?
This is, like, I don't know, like, it's very much, I don't know what I was going to say. Like, I was thinking of a movie where they are, like, closing camp. No, okay, it reminds me of, like, Sleepaway Camp, like, with the guy that's running it, that's always smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, the same energy from, like, his energy is, like, similar to Rick's, because Rick is like, all right, I'm running a camp, like, I just, like, I understand, like, there's bad shit happening, but I'm not about to just, like, lose this thing. I want to, like, run this thing. Please, if you stay, I'll give you $50, like... You know, just that type of thing.
Yeah, but the cops have the power to be like, no.
Well, yes, they do, but, well.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's worth noting that Rick has sunk his entire life savings into this camp.
Exactly. See, that's kind of what I was thinking.
So the girls are suspicious of him. And especially once Angela says that the last time she saw Ryan, he was getting paged by Rick, and that was the last time anybody had seen Ryan.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, what we'll do, because the pagers hold your 50 most recent in and outgoing pages. I never had a pager, so I don't understand how pagers work.
I don't know.
And I want to be clear, because I don't want our older listeners to be like, you whippersnappers. It's not that I don't understand what a pager is. It's that I was not the right age to have a pager. It would have been very silly for me to have a pager.
We were like 10, 11 when this movie came out. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Why would we need a pager?
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, I don't fully understand how pagers work. Not because they're like ancient tech, but just because, like, I missed that brief period in time where they were relevant.
Yeah. Aren't they basically like text messages type thing?
I think so. I don't see it. We're not making ourselves sound any better.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
This is going to be one of those moments where my mom texts me and she's like, Although I don't think my mom ever had a pager either. I never heard her getting little boop, 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 boops. So.
I don't know, man. I never knew anybody that have ever owned one in my existence.
Yeah.
They're all a myth. They never actually
pagers
existed.
Pagers aren't real. You know where I have seen pagers? This movie, Buffy, and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Just, yeah.
Oh, and Friends.
It's a Hollywood thing.
Yeah.
It's like purely for like, for script writers to have like a convenient way to get messages across.
Pagers are an invention of the Illuminati. Tell everyone.
Boom. All right. Solved.
Anyway, they have a terrible plan that they're going to try and steal the pager of the guy they think is the killer.
Well, that's not a terrible plan.
But if you think somebody's a killer, maybe you shouldn't go stealing his shit.
Well, I mean, if they're wanting to make an accusation and not do so like lightly, because I don't know. I mean, right now they think it's Mike.
Okay. But before they do this pager stealing bit, they're doing some casual investigation in which Tracy finds a camera just chilling in a tree. And it's a camcorder. Like, it's a handheld camcorder. It's not like a little security camera.
Yeah, and it's conveniently pointed, like, right at the men's dorm area cabin.
Yeah. So she plugs it into the computer and watches the footage. She sees Mike sneak into the cabin right after Elvis leaves to go shower the night before. And when Mike goes in, Trevor Morehouse comes out.
Ooh, gotta be him.
Yeah. And right then, as she's watching this, Mike walks in and she yells at him. And she yells for everybody to come help her because the murderer is here. He's definitely the murderer. He's a murderer, guys.
Well, Mike doesn't really help his case because instead of like, well, before that, I mean, he could have just been like, hey, like, let's talk about this. Instead, he like grabs her and like almost like tries to wrestle her. And then like that fails. So he's like, yeah. So he just runs away. Like, he panicked. He did fight and flight all at the same time. He didn't know how to react.
At this point, the cops have come. They take Mike away, and the girls are actually packing to leave the camp.
For real this time.
Yeah. Tracy's sad. She was like, I don't know how I could have misjudged him. And Sophie's like, there. And I was like, maybe Sophie's the bad guy. I don't know. We had the nice twist last time. Where for a little bit you suspected the main character's girlfriend to be the killer, and then it turns out she wasn't. So
I'm a little bit sad that she's not in this movie.
I know. I wanted more of her.
Yeah.
So that they were packing to leave, but apparently then she also has time to sleep. I don't know. She wakes up in her sweaty camisole again.
They are doing like, okay, they had a plot point like, okay, we're closing camp, guys, so like in all the filler scenes do something involving closing. But in reality, the movie takes place like over like what, 3 to 4 days?
Yeah.
So they're just packing every single fucking day.
But she has her Trevor Morehouse dream again, and this time he pulls off the mask and it's Rick. So she's like, I don't know if I trust Rick's alibi. He's got one. And Angela's like, well, Mike has one too. And she comes clean about what happened. And she blames herself, which, again, no! I want to spray bottle all of these women in this movie and tell them not to buy into the patriarchal bullshit society has shoved down their throats.
Yeah.
I also want to tell them that their low-rise jeans are going to go out of style and hopefully never come back.
I guess we'll see about that.
Okay. And Tracy's like, well, that sucks, but we got bigger fish to fry. I'm not going to get mad at you for the cheating right now. Rick is just going to bring in locals to finish closing the camp, so that way the three remaining camp counselors can leave. And then he's like, I'm sweaty, I'm going to go take a shower. And then this is when they do their grand pager plan. So Tracy sneaks into the bathroom as Rick's showering. And it's the loudest goddamn Velcro ever that she has to pull to get it out of his vest. And it's so stupid. Like, she's sitting there, she's like patting his vest down. All of these very clearly empty pockets. And there's one clearly bulging, full pocket. Yeah. And then she like does like the dumbest move. So like listen, Velcro's never going to be quiet, but there are ways to make it quieter. You kind of have to, like, slide your thumb in there to dampen it some. Like, I've done quiet-ish Velcro.
You've done stealth Velcro.
Not stealth. I would never say stealth. It's kind of like, you know, putting a silencer on a gun. It's not really going to silence it.
Well, it shouldn't be a big issue anyways. He's in the shower. Like, you know, he's hearing water hitting his face.
I don't know. I guess it depends on the water pressure.
I guess that's true, but still, I don't know. Just get in there now. I don't know.
Also, Travis, not everybody just, like, mashes their face under the stream of water while they shower.
Everybody should. You don't hear anything, and you just got a face full of water. It's great.
And, yes, if you're listening and if you're wondering if Travis does this, he does.
This you make it sound like a bizarre thing. Under the water.
It is.
It's not.
It is.
It's not bizarre. Anyways, like, I'm kind of confused about, like, why they have to do this so stealthily and, like, just grab it just to peek at the messages and then put it back. Yeah. Like, why not just steal it, right? Like,
yeah.
You could have, like, just lay it outside being, oh, like, he finds it, like, oh, I guess it fell in my pocket. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah, his messages have all been cleared.
Yeah.
Which the girls find suspicious. So Tracy goes back to check the tape again and sees that there is an editing happening because they can see the note that they had left for Mike in one frame when he's going into the cabin, mm-hmm. but then it's gone when he's coming out.
Yeah.
But you never see anybody pick it up.
Yeah. So yeah.
That's why that's important. Angela goes to look for Ryan's missing pager and she hears it. And when she follows the sound, it's Trevor Morehouse holding it. So then he kills her.
No.
Did
you like her shirt? It just says hottie. It's just fire.
She had a lot of those on.
The wardrobe for her was pretty terrible, honestly.
They need to leave now. She tells Sophie to go find Angela and she's going to go get the truck keys. While she's looking for the keys, she finds James' backpack in Rick's office.
Ooh.
Rick walks in that moment. He says, it's not what it looks like, which is exactly what a killer would say.
That's what they all say.
So he says he hid it to avoid bad press because he was like, if there's bad press, this camp will close down.
Which, like, sleepaway camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she is uncomfortable. She goes a running. We cut to Sophie real quick finding Angela's body, and then she gets knocked upside the head. Tracy manages to lock Rick in the shed and calls the cops, says that she's got him trapped, blah, 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 except he's escaped in the time that she's made the phone call because it was like a flimsy little chain lock holding him. It was not, it was bad. Nothing.
Yeah.
So she sets, she is trying to find whatever evidence she needs, whatever weapon she can have. She sets up a little warning system for herself that I thought was really clever. She scattered a bag of chips in front of the door. And he just, like a fool, just stepped
on
them.
Yeah,
she's lucky those weren't stale. Wouldn't have worked then. So they have like their little cat and mouse moment. And then the sheriff ends up shooting Rick. They can't find Sophie, but they're like, it's fine. We'll come back later. And when we'll look for her again tomorrow.
And I'm like, why? Like,
we give up. She's probably dead.
They're just like, okay, we got one.
And
we're
Tracy's
good.
Just staring into the distance. She's like, is this what happened with Jason? Like, we'll go looking for his body tomorrow. And then they just forgot.
Yeah. It was bad. Bad police. But
yeah.
The worst part about this. Okay. So Tracy is in the car with the sheriff. They're driving back to the police station.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sheriff's like, oh, like, I guess this is a great time for me to reveal I'm the killer because we're at the end of the movie. So we have to get this out there somehow.
Trevor's father,
Clayton Morehouse.
Yeah.
Good old name right there, Clayton Morehouse.
Yeah.
But she's like, why are you doing this? He's like, why? Because somebody has to pay for what happened to my boy. So he's basically the male version of Pam Voorhees.
Yep. He says he framed Mike, and that's when Tracy turns around and sees Mike is dead in the back seat. I like, do other people not just even glance in the back seat when they get in their cars?
You would think it would be like, I mean, he's not laying down, he's sitting up, right? Yeah. I would be like, oh shit, there's a third person in here. Yeah. Like, hey, what's up? But no.
No. So he pulls over, he handcuffs Tracy to a tree branch. I'm not even entirely sure that the branch is still attached to a tree.
Likely not.
It doesn't look like it is. No. It's not a very thick branch.
This guy and you would not think really
that.
Soon.
Well, you would think that, except we will see in a moment because Sophie pops up and they get into a little spat. She goes running, the sheriff chases her. And Tracy makes all of one attempt to break the branch and then gives up. And we've broken branches that size. It's not impossible to do. And I'm weak as shit, and I can do it.
You, like, these people would have adrenaline flowing through them. Like, they can do all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah. Instead, she has to go the hard route of trying to grab the keys that are just out of reach. I mean, she ends up freeing herself, but it's just... It was annoying.
Overly complicated. And if they wanted to go this route, they could have done it better.
Yeah. As the sheriff is chasing Sophie, and Tracy is catching up with Sophie, he's talking about how this place used to be trees. And then came the camp counselors. And it's a weird monologue that isn't fully attached to itself. And I just wrote, trees are better than counselors?
I don't know.
It seemed, that's the takeaway I'm getting from this.
He explained, I mean, it's the exact same backstory as Jason. Like, his boy drowned, and then... as he was under the lake, apparently, like, some kind of monsters ate his face. So he...
I thought he fell off a cliff. I feel like they changed his backstory
in this movie. I thought he, I don't know. He got his face eaten. He fell to some sort of depth.
Yeah.
And he chooses to wear a mask because of his fucked up face.
Yeah. They are running... and then the sheriff, and then they're found by Trevor Morehouse. And the sheriff is like, Trevor, my boy! And then Trevor kills him.
Yeah. Like, what the, what?
Much like Jason had a great disdain for Pamela, despite also loving her.
But he would have never killed his own mom. This guy just sees his own dad in and a is way, like immediately didn't like, oh, he, fuck you.
In a way, didn't he kill her by not letting her know that he was alive and... using a functioning toilet in the middle of the woods?
Well, there's a difference between directly chainsawing somebody through the torso and then watching somebody get decapitated on the beach.
But also killing her emotionally. Like, I feel like Jason really went for the gut punch with Pamela.
Well, he's... this is why he's the more successful of the two.
It's true.
But, so what happens is...
he leaves Tracy.
Well, yeah, so Sophie and Tracy are there. Sophie's knocked out. Tracy's there, and then he
Sophie's
gets up to her.
Been knocked out twice in the past, like, 5 hours. She's gonna have brain damage of
big
some
time.
Sort.
Yeah, she's concussed, to say the least. But what happens is, like, he gets right up to Tracy, and then his chainsaw stops working. And then he's like, oh, this is the end. So he's like, okay, I'm sorry, I gotta go.
Oh, okay, we're done.
Yeah, I'll take my dad. It's okay, we'll get out of your all's hair. And then he drags him off into the woods. Next morning, Tracy and Sophie wake up. Bright, sunshiny day. And they stand up and they're like, all right, let's walk. And then they just walk off.
Yep.
And that's the end of the fucking movie. What the fuck is this ending?
Unsatisfying.
It's messy. This is the thing that makes this tanks it right here. This is a bad ending. Like, they did not know what to do. The chainsaw runs out of gas or stops working, so Trevor's like, all right, I'm going to call it a day. And then he just walks off. He has, like, machetes and, like, all kinds of other shit that he's used before. I don't get it. Like, he wouldn't just stop.
He used a fucking rock earlier in the movie.
Yeah, right? Like, it's... it doesn't make any sense. He used a knife in that same kill because he was cutting off his...
machete.
A machete, yeah. I don't get it. The ending is terrible. However, everything else about this movie, I had a good time. So I'm going to actually bump it down because the ending pissed me off so much. I'm knocking it all the way down to a 5.
Wow.
Yeah, that ending pisses me off. It's bad. Bad, bad.
After we've talked about it, I think my original assessment of 4.5 was correct.
So no up, no down?
No up, no down.
Okay.
It had moments that I enjoyed, but overall I'm left disappointed.
Fair.
So we went from a 5.75 to a 4.75 average.
Boom. Wow, a whole 1 point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think clearly you were upset by the ending and that's what you would change.
Yeah.
And I'm upset by the tone.
I would also keep him like in line with the previous look. Like, why completely redesign your character in your second movie, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, just embrace the roots, man. Like, this is a ripoff of Friday the 13th. Fucking run with it, because that's what the first one did, and it was fun.
Here's what one person that enjoyed this better had to say.
Okay.
Director Spira does a much better job here than Ralph Portillo did on the first. Spira actually films the stalking and murder scenes at night, which instantly gives it more tension and atmosphere. The decision to change the hockey mask was also a good one, as our murderer in this looks completely different and far more effective. By the way, Rob, I don't care what you say. If you get into a car and there's a dead body in the back seat, you would notice it, okay? The violence and gore is also a welcome addition. Guys, both his legs chopped off and his head caved in. Someone has a machete implanted in their face. There's a gory slit throat. Someone gets a chainsaw shoved through them, and someone gets an arrow through his neck. Unlike the original, there's both nudity and sex, just like all good slashers should have. So I will agree that the effects, the gore... is a nice,
oh yeah, big time
bump with it.
That's one of the best things about it.
But I don't know, I felt like the first one was more fun.
I think that,
and again, I think if this was like a completely separate movie, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah,
I'd be a little bit confused by the ending, but you know, it would be fine. The first one was purposefully confusing because it was just kind of a big clusterfuck, but I loved it. And yeah. they filmed a bunch of scenes where anybody could have been the killer. Like, and they played out possible scenarios on screen, and I liked that in the first one.
This one made you think it could be Mike and then also Rick. So it kind of did that, but it didn't do it as much.
Yeah, it wasn't as effective, I don't think.
I don't know. Like, I disagree with the whole changing the way he looks. I guess it's a better shot. It's a better put together movie, but it's, that ending fucking sucks. And it's just not as fun. I don't know. I walked into this recording being fully prepared to be like, this is a good movie. And then now we're here and I'm like, ah, fuck, the first one all the way.
What do you think Scout's favorite part of this movie was?
Scout's favorite part was whenever the guy like fell in the grave and got partially buried, but not fully.
You're wrong, actually. Scout's favorite part was all the sleeping.
All the people getting knocked out and then she's a all fan the sleeping, of the brain damage.
She especially loves Katie Woodruff's sweaty sleep waking up moment, because it's currently July and it is prime melty season for Scout. She likes to sleep and be as flat as possible and as warm as possible right now, so that really resonated with her.
Okay, but that's very true to Scout right there.
Yeah,
that's very much her.
Who did you relate to?
I would say that I relate to I don't fucking relate to anybody in this, if I'm being 100% honest. I'll relate to James. I don't really have a reason. I'm not anything like James. What the fuck am I talking about?
I relate to Sophie and Elvis talking about horror tropes.
Yeah.
And debating them.
Okay. Let's just say I relate to... I don't know. I just don't know. There's like another thing that this is making me realize is like the characters don't really have many dimensions to them.
No, not at all.
I relate to the sheriff that got punched in the face.
That was a deputy.
He wasn't the deputy. Okay, I relate to that guy.
Okay.
Because that's what this movie did to me. It punched me in the face.
Okay, I'm guessing that we're both going to say this did not live up to the dream sequel.
No.
Okay.
To be or not to be, would you recommend this as a watch?
Yes, but on the condition that you haven't seen the first one.
Really? I feel like you can watch this one and still appreciate it. And you can watch it and it'd be fine. It won't ruin your experience at all. Just if you watch this one without having watched the first one, watch them both in any order.
I think two, then one. I think if it's your first viewings of either of them.
Go two, then one?
Two, then one, yeah.
All right, yeah, do that. I think you might have a good time.
All right, tomorrow's August. Yeah. We'll have a new schedule up. We're actually getting ready to go straight into a second recording for Travis's birthday episode.
Basket case.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that on Thursday and our schedule on all our social media that we've already talked about.
Yeah. All right, well, until this Thursday, we will see you guys then.
All right, bye.
Bye.